Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm here as your host on a daily basis, just as you guys would anticipate, getting you guys ready for today's show, in which Pete and I will start by discussing the Giannis Antetokounmpo extension, what that means for the league, and why he and I are both excited about it. It's a pretty cool deal that he's staying in a small market, and hopefully we'll continue to reap the rewards of kind of being the guy there. We go from there to the LeBron James season preview we've been promising you guys now for forever, it feels like. We start with our general expectations with him, which is how I want to start all of these season previews, these individual previews. I just think that gets you ready and sets the right context under which this season is going to be taking place. From there, we go to a more individual basis and the things that we're going to be looking for from him as an individual player on both sides of the ball. And then we finish with him in the team construct. And this is where the conversation really takes off. It's fun enough to think about this Lakers team from the standpoint of, okay, yeah, they're just really effing good. But then you think about it as a LeBron James team, and you compare it to the rosters that he's played on to this point in his career, and it stacks up pretty freaking well. And it gets you really excited about all of the things the Lakers are going to be able to do, especially offensively. So let's go ahead and get to that. Enjoy this one. We will be back at it again tomorrow. Make sure you guys, again, are staying tuned to all of the shows across this entire network to get as educated as you possibly can as we get ready for what's going to be a fascinating NBA season. Today's show is brought to you in part by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsible and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design makers have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This excited, limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. All right, so the Lakers are going to kick off, by the time you guys are listening to this, tonight, you know, potentially, if you guys are, unless you guys listen right when they come out, in which case you're my favorite people on earth. But, you know, if you do wait till the next morning and you're listening on your commute, you are driving to work right now, and you're thinking about when you get home, you'll be mere hours away from watching LeBron James and Anthony Davis make their preseason debuts. Pete, it seems unfair that we're as happy as we are.
It does. It's been a good few months, man. You rarely ever get these as a fan, and I always say it can go sideways at any moment, so enjoy it while it lasts. But these last 4 or 5 months have been pretty much perfect for a Laker fan.
Basically, you know what else has kind of made it perfect? I can't lie. I was actually happy to see the news today that Giannis is staying in Milwaukee.
I was too. It feels right. Yeah.
Yeah. It was funny because, you know, they threw to SportsCenter, and I think it was Jay Harris who was talking to Jay Williams, and they both looked like their dogs had just been kicked. It's like, guys,
what are they going to talk about now? Well, like, no, they immediately... Where is he going in 2025?
It's just like
shows, man.
Like why can't they be happy for what's best for the sport? Because this is objectively the best thing for the league. Like this means that you don't disenfranchise Bucks fans. You don't continue the narrative of the only cities or teams that matter are on the coasts. You know, it's just I'm happy about the fact that. Milwaukee is going to, you know, be able to have at least a couple more years here to really try to build something around Giannis. They've been tantalizingly close. They just had to, you know, kind of change up their approach to the postseason and probably the regular season too. But like in terms of the,
is that all? There,
well, no, approach. It's not like,
sure.
It's not like when it had LeBron stuck it out in Cleveland his first time around before he went to Miami,
sure,
that team would have been, it was still really far away, you know.
Do you think you can, sorry, a little sidebar, but do you think you can win a title with Chris Middleton as your second best player?
I mean, it's always tough to answer that question because it's like, how good is the third best player? How good is the fourth best player?
In context of this team, because they're pretty, not locked in, but Drew's there for a lot. I mean, no team's locked into their roster, but they're pretty much what they are.
If you're going to try to win with Chris Middleton as your second-ish best player, then Drew being your third best player and Giannis being your first best player, you know, is pretty important. So I think they can win a championship over the course of his contract. The problem is that Bud is so dogmatic about how he uses his rotations. Like that, Bud is a much bigger problem to me than that roster. The roster is one that, you know, and also Giannis has to make some tweaks to his game. And I think he made the mistake of focusing too much on his 3-point shot not kind of gradually building outward from the rim. When you're as physically dominating as he is, turning yourself essentially into a 3-point shooter or, you know, a rim type player, you're not going to give yourself spacing when you shoot the way that Giannis shoots. You know, it's not like Giannis making a couple threes every so often is going to force the defense to run out there and go guard him. That's not how it works. But had he kind of worked on, you know, a floater or some pinch post stuff
he needs a go-to move, man.
Yeah.
He needs
anything a go-to move. Davis, we saw what Davis was doing in the postseason. And obviously we're partial to it because we just saw him win a championship doing that stuff. But Giannis, I think, was too drastic with his shift to the perimeter in terms of like literally going too far out onto the perimeter.
Yeah. He needs some triple threat skills. He just needs one move and a counter that he can get anytime he wants. Yeah. And at his size, like those are at his size, it's almost like practice shots. Like nobody's really bothering those shots. So yeah, get a, you know, hard dribble pull up and get a, you know, get a move off of that and you're good to go.
I also think because he has some broad shoulders, right? He's a big dude. If he kind of focused on a kind of Dirk fadeaway where you lean your shoulder back and you just jump off, because he's a 1-foot jumper anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you just lean your shoulder in and then elevate up from 7 to 10 feet out, especially on the side, like nobody's contesting that. Nobody's touching.
Those are practice shots, basically.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I just thought the response to it on ESPN was comical. And in general, I'm just really happy for the fans there in Milwaukee. Seem like good, like good fans. They seem like, you know, I haven't had a problem. The only problem I have with some people in Milwaukee, remember there was the pitcher hater who had the racism stuff and then they gave him a standing ovation, which I thought was odd. I like, what are you applauding there? But you know, beyond that, I just thought that, you know, for this story and for the league in general, I think it's a step in the right direction. Another step in the right direction is whatever the Lakers have been doing this year. And like we started the show, LeBron and Anthony Davis are going to be making their preseason debuts tonight by the time you guys are listening to this. So that gives us the perfect opportunity to finally do the LeBron James player preview that we've been promising for roughly a month.
Yeah.
So I want to start with this really quickly before we get into, in the second segment, we'll talk about individual stuff. And then in the third segment, they're really excited about the second segment.
Sorry about that. Out of nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, he is who he is individually at this point, you know, but hey, people get excited about those tweaks. and then in the third segment, we'll talk about it in more of the team context. But to start, though, I always like starting all of these things with expectations because that is always the lens through which we watch everything, right? Talen Horton-Tucker has been the story of the preseason so far, all, you know, because of the production, because of what he's been doing, and also because nobody expected anything from the guy. With LeBron, though, that isn't going to be the case. So, Pete, where are your expectations at with him?
with the regular season, you know, I want him to stay healthy, and I expect him to explore more of his opportunities off of the ball. And you've got way more playmakers on the team than we've had before. Even that first year where it was kind of, we had Lance Stevenson and Lonzo and B.I. And the idea was to surround him with those types of guys. These are different types of players, right? Like we saw a taste of Marcus Gasol's passing. And I think he's the real key to LeBron being able to operate efficiently and effectively without the ball in his hands. I expect LeBron to look to kind of diversify his attack, because he always has the give me the ball at the top of the key or on the wing and let's go to work in his bag, right? But he's never had a passing center like this. He's never had these this amount of like initiators and guys who can kind of create offense, you know, with apologies to D Wade. Of course, D Wade was incredible at that, but the Lakers have more in terms of they can run an offense where LeBron is running, you know, motion sets and things like that. So my expectation is that he uses the regular season to kind of explore different things than he already knows works. What do you expect out of him? It's hard. It's in year 18, right? To, you know, I expect him to be LeBron James, right? I expect him to play low 30s in minutes. I'm hoping it's a career low in minutes per game in the regular season. But yeah, where are you at on what to expect in year 18?
This is one of the things that I have waffled on the most, I think. On one hand, the focus is undeniably on everybody stay healthy, everybody stay fresh, let's get to the postseason and wreck fools then, right? That is... That is.
Oh no, I want to rip fools in the preseason. Like, well, I liked being up by 30. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I want to whoop on people every part of this season, right? Like, it's just a matter of who and when and yeah. But I don't want us to buy time till the postseason at all.
So, I think this is the best team LeBron has ever played on, other than the Olympic teams. Sure. And so this is why I say I waffle on it, right? On one hand, you say, well, since it's more talented, you could theoretically ask for less from LeBron in the regular season. You could theoretically keep him even more fresh so that come postseason, you get God mode LeBron. And I don't know how the Lakers lose when you get God mode LeBron. On the other hand, I kind of want to see, I want to see God mode LeBron a couple times during the regular season. One, so that the Lakers know what that looks like, and then they can kind of adjust up, right? They understand where the ceiling is, and you can figure out how tall a Christmas tree to buy if that's the direction that you're going to go in. But also, LeBron on a special team should be a special regular season, should be one of those exhilarating things that we just haven't been able to see to this point in his career. And so I think the smart thing to do is to save himself as much as possible, but also occasionally send the occasional message out to the rest of the league that no, we're that good. And this is what it looks like when I'm finally on a super deep squad, top to bottom. We found out last year at the end of the year how good last year's team was. We know going in how good this team is. And I kind of really want to see, you know, just occasionally, or maybe more than occasionally, no, my God, this team. Oh my God, this is a juggernaut. And I think it would kind of start with LeBron.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's going to be the mentality, right? Like, he's somebody that this whole, oh, LeBron should save himself for the playoffs idea, you don't think that was brought up over and over again in the 8 straight years that he made the finals?
Yeah.
And they were still elite teams, right? On rosters that were not as talented as this, with the possible exception of the Heatles. And I would even argue that this team has more depth. They had the third star, but I think that the depth of this team, along with the second superstar in Anthony Davis, who's arguably at this point of his career even more talented than D Wade was,
yeah,
right?
I think he's better than Wade.
Yeah, and there's certainly a better fit, right? Like, there's less your turn, my turn, and more synergy between the two of them. And so
Yeah, like I would say that LeBron makes AD better than Dwayne. I'm sorry, but yeah.
It's no, for, no, I think that's absolutely the case. No, that's a good point. And so that idea of, yeah, LeBron is going to load manage and find moments in the game where he can rest and get his rest in game. But LeBron's never been a, like, he'll start slow and pick up, but we've got a roster that can handle that just fine.
Yeah. Right?
And I'm curious to what degree, whatever degree this sort of thing matters to LeBron in terms of legacy, right? Because that's really what is there left to do in LeBron's career. It's he can end the best player of all time conversation, right? I already think he's number one. He can end the conversation. And I think a dominant regular season like the 96 Bulls had, right? That type of, and I know these are high goals, right? I'm not saying that that's my expectation for what I think this season will be, but I do think they're capable. Yeah. And if I were on the team, if I were, you know, in LeBron James's shoes, I want that. I want like a 60-12 type season. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a championship on top of that. And because that all of that strengthens the case. So yeah, like stay healthy, be smart about it. Nobody's smarter about when to take chances and not. I don't necessarily need to see God mode LeBron, but just keep doing what he's doing. And try to mix in some of like explore some of the off ball stuff. And yeah, I think he's going to be plenty motivated.
Yeah. I'm going to talk more about the off ball stuff in the third segment, because it's interesting. You don't think of that with LeBron, and you didn't, you never really thought about it previously with LeBron, because his teams have kind of been lacking in that respect. And even LeBron's own game has kind of lacked in the ability to be an off-ball player. But we'll get to that in the third segment. In this next segment, I want to talk about him individually on stuff that we think he can, you know, improve on, what he's going to look like on both sides of the ball. Defensively is going to be a really interesting thing, picking up on the conversation you and I had yesterday. So we'll get to all of that here in a bit.
Today's show is brought to you in part by Headspace. Life can be stressful, even under normal circumstances. 2020 has been anything but normal. You need stress relief that goes beyond quick fixes. That's Headspace. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations and an easy-to-use app. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So, whatever the situation, Headspace really can help you feel better. Overwhelmed? Headspace's 3-minute SOS meditation for you. Need some help falling asleep? Headspace's wind down sessions members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations you can do with your kids. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. Personally, I am a new father. I wake up in the morning sometimes dreading the idea of juggling work and trying to squeeze shows in during Avery's nap times, and just being able to relax and collect myself before every day has been incredible. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is a meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a 1-month free trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. Head over to headspace.com/lockedonNBA today.
One of the things you and I talked about in yesterday's show was the notion that because the Lakers are going to be so good offensively, we're probably going to be kind of frustrated at the defense, right? When you know that you can just flat out outscore 99% of the games that your opposition in 99% of the games that you're going to play in, it makes it kind of difficult to do the small things on defense. And I think of the players that those small things are going to show up the most,
it's probably going to be LeBron, right? The off-ball rotation stuff. I'm curious if we're going to see a lot more pointing this year from LeBron than we saw in last year's team.
Why didn't you make my rotation? Yes.
right. That stuff. Do you think it'll be a noticeable step back?
I think there are enough guys on this team that it won't be. Like, I think there's going to be more accountability on LeBron in that respect. And LeBron was wonderful on defense last year. Nobody needs to tell LeBron how to play defense. It's more of a mental engagement type of thing. And like, I get what are called the melts, and a melt is from Spectrum, and it's video of all the different angles of like the main highlights of the game. But there are also these kind of personal interactions, right? That's where Creeper Pete comes in. And so those moments, there were a lot of moments on the first two games where Marc Gasol is on the bench, like explaining something to another player, or he's very, like, hey, when I do this, you do that. There's just a lot of engage. This is a preseason game. Marc Gasol is as old as LeBron is, and Mark is super into it, right? Wes Matthews is this type of dude too. And AD is the best defensive player in the world, in my opinion. And he's one of the people who brought, I believe, a lot of the accountability last year. Cause it's like, you can't make the argument to me that you've got too much of an offensive burden, right?
Right.
And to play defense, at least to some extent, right? There's a lot of credibility there. On top of that, there's Vogel, right? Mm-hmm. And we talked yesterday, you made some great points about Vogel's ability to get people to work together and collaborate. And so there are a lot of factors. You're absolutely right. The quick turnaround that play into the notion that LeBron's not going to be as good on defense this year as he was last year. And I think in a general sense, that statement will probably be true at the end of this year. But I don't see a drastic dip because of the surrounding personalities on this team. Am I overvaluing that? Or do you think that I'm on the right track with that?
I think there's something to that. The issue that I could see, though, is that like the personalities are such that, you know, they'll keep each other account, they'll hold each other accountable, but it's just different when the accountability shows up through action, right? Like the way that the Lakers were swarming on defense, if LeBron was consistently, or anybody for that matter, was consistently a step slow on rotation, it was going to show up. It was going to be super evident. And because of that, like those film room sessions, if somebody missed a couple rotations in a row, and nobody else was missing, everybody but that player was on a string, everybody in that room can say, it's right there, dude. You got it. You got to commit on that. And I just think from a personnel standpoint this year, there are a lot more guys who, even while they know that they're missing that assignment, or they're a step late on that rotation, that's just where their body is right now. They just aren't that kind of a defensive player.
And I can live with that being a step late. It's when LeBron does not rotate at all,
right?
It's the pointing, the why, like I said, why didn't you make my rotation for me? Those are the types of plays that need to be held accountable. Am I expecting them to look like game six of the finals the way they did that? Hell no. And for exactly the reasons that you say there. But if you can get guys mentally engaged, and if their body or you know, they don't want to push themselves to their max degree, they shouldn't be. That's fine. But that's what I'm looking for. If they're a step slow, I can live with that. It's not making a rotation at all that needs to be held accountable.
Offensively, from an individual standpoint, we're going to talk about the team construct and all of that playing off ball here on the other side of the break. But I do want to really quickly, from a purely individual standpoint, Marc Gasol is going to be operating out of the pinch post in ways that Dwight and JaVale never were last year. AD is somebody whose postseason performance indicates to me that he should keep getting those touches a ton, right? And if Gasol's only going to be playing about 12, 14 minutes a game, I think 15 minutes a game. So that space isn't going to be taken up all the time. But my question is, like, will LeBron run out of room? Like, is it when he has the ball in his hands, is it going to be predominantly at the top of the key? Or do you think the Lakers have enough creativity from a strategic standpoint to get him the ball in some pinch post stuff. Because when the Lakers looked their best last year offensively, it's when LeBron got the ball in the post and just old manned his way to the basket. And I'm kind of curious if there are going to be enough of those touches to go around this year.
So we're on the same wavelength. I do think, I mean, that's LeBron James. Like, he's going to eat first in terms of whatever type of touch that they want.
But he's versatile enough, though, that, like, even if he's eating first, he can get the ball somewhere else on the court. But that you still want him to get the lion's share of those touches, too.
100%. And the good thing about AD and Mark is they can both space the floor in those situations, right? That could be a LeBron by himself. And this is where the burying guys in the posts and that old man game, we're on the same wavelength with that, because he was doing that last year with the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. He can use both hands now and have, like, we saw THT with a nice duck in, and Markieff Morris has done this a couple of times where he's just cut from the wing against a smaller player and threw his inside arm up the way that you're supposed to and seal his man behind him. And he had a bucket on, like, Kennard or one of them guys in the last game doing that from, like, 5 feet away from the hoop. When LeBron does that, it's devastating. The problem is you don't have...
feels mean.
You usually don't have somebody that can make that post pass.
Yeah.
And so last year, LeBron's backing a guy down and he's got to dribble while he's using his physicality and his elbows and forearms and shoulders and things like that. He got one hand occupied with the ball. This year, he's got opportunities to do that. So that's what I want to see. Just bury dudes in the post. And you got, especially if Mark starts, as I think he will, in that group, you can, you know, other four guys behind the 3-point line and LeBron just setting a down screen, reverse pivot, seal his guy behind him. Mark drops the dot. Ah, I can't wait, man.
Especially if they try to switch or anything like that. And
come on, man. Yeah.
You guys, you know, obviously this is an audio format, but the whole time Pete was talking, I had like the cheekiest grin.
Yeah. I'm talking with my hands.
I'm just sitting here picturing any poor wing. So any wing outside of, I would say, Giannis, Kawhi, and maybe Paul George. I might be forgetting somebody just from a physicality standpoint, but from, like, there are not very many people who, if LeBron is allowed to use both of his hands and is trying to get to a spot, is going to be able to stop him from getting there. They don't exist at his position. And yeah, that's going to be pretty devastating to watch if they can tactically and strategically place him in those spots. All right, let's take another quick second here. That offers up a perfect segue into some of the off-ball stuff. I'm curious to see, beyond the stuff that we just talked about a second ago, can he do some pick and roll stuff as a screener for Schroeder? And he gets the ball in a short roll. And will we see an improved pick and roll game between him and AD this year, now that they have, you know, another off-season's worth to practice that and develop more chemistry there? Super exciting stuff, guys. So let's sit tight, pay a couple bills, and come back and talk about that. So defensively, we already went over that. It's hard to I don't want to go rehash on that stuff, because defensively, I think they're going to be fine if the goal is to score more points than the other team. which I think they'll be fine with. Offensively, let's start with him on the ball. And with him on the ball, what do you think of you know, the most devastating play that the Lakers are going to have that they can lean on occasionally is LeBron AD pick and rolls. And if that is indeed like the best that it could possibly look, then the Lakers have their 103 mile an hour fastball that they can just throw whenever they have to. My question is, if you agree with the premise and if you think it's going to look better with the way that the roster is constructed around them this year.
Yeah, that's a great question, because last season, that's what we thought was going to happen, but it wasn't really that big of a part of what we were doing. And the thing that I noticed is that defense has just switched that, right? You've got two freak athletes. One's a little bit bigger than the other, but
you're going to have a mismatch either way. So,
right. Might as well not let there be that structural advantage of hedge and recover or in a drop, right? Where you have to bring in another body into that. If you're big enough and athletic enough to kind of sort of guard LeBron, you're big enough and athletic enough to kind of sort of guard AD, right? Like you're not going to have an advantage over either of those guys, but there's no, like with a Schroeder AD pick and roll, the kind of guy that you've got on Schroeder is probably a different player than you've got the kind of defender you have on LeBron. And so maybe those are times where defenses switch less and they're more in a drop or something like that. So I don't necessarily agree that that's our best weapon, even though I thought it would be. That's not how it played out. That said, I think that a lot of the isolation stuff, the clear out of one side of the floor, I think we're going to do that less because we've got, have you noticed the passing, Anthony, in the first couple of games, how the ball's just whipping around the court? Just Kuz is doing a great job as
with
a passer.
Purpose too. It's not just like, it's not mindless passing. It's always an angled pass that puts the defense at a further disadvantage.
Absolutely. And it's like, drive, kick, replace, right? Like it's this motion offense, read and react type concepts that, like, as a basketball dork, I'm like, ooh, you know, and I'm most curious to see if LeBron especially wants to play that way, because it's a different style of play, right? And it may involve running a little bit more. Maybe he's like, no, I don't want to, you know, like be, let's have Mark out there with the units that we've seen him out there with before, because he can get guys that can't get their own, like KCP. He's getting KCP to the rim with his passing. So I'm sorry, I'm going all over the place with that. But in terms of our go-to actions, I think that changes this year, because I think we'll be less isolation based, and we didn't run a ton of pick and roll last year.
So the one case I'll make for it potentially being their see, there's a difference to me between go-to weapon in that, like, and most devastating weapon is that, like, the go-to, you're not really a Marvel guy, are you?
I'm not, no, but maybe I'll understand.
Well, so in Iron Man 2, there's a scene where Iron Man and Rhodey are sitting there fighting all these other, like, machine things, you know, droids that are just really piling on top of them. And at one point, Iron Man tells his, like, co-star guy, hey, duck. And he puts his arms straight out and he fires this laser that essentially chops all of the other, the bad guys in half, right? And Rhodey goes, why didn't you just start with that? And Iron Man and Iron Man says, well, it's a one-time thing, you know? So it's a super devastating thing, but it's not the thing that he can lean on the most because it drains too much of his power. Okay. And I kind of feel like the Lakers might use something else more, but this is the thing that I just think looks, and I think it's going to look even cleaner this year because of the amount of spacing. So you talked about the fact that other teams were able to switch on stuff. Well, if the Lakers had Caruso on the court, or if they had Rondo on the court, or if they had Dwight or JaVale on the court, that meant you had another player to get in the way of that pass that you can make, that dive pass that you can make.
It's a great point.
When the defender is now on AD's back, right? Because he's coming from a switch.
Yeah, and it's like a clogged roll lane because JaVale or Dwight's in the dunker spot. That's a really good point.
And so I think this year, if Gasol is out there, or if it's, you know, KCP and Matthews are both out there at the same time, and even Schroeder to a lesser extent, because he kind of is a Rondo type spacer. He'll hit open shots, but he doesn't really space. He doesn't produce gravity. And I think this year, if they do switch it, the Lakers will have an immediate counter that they didn't have last year. And if that is the case, if that spacing is the case, and now teams might still sell out to it because you know exactly what's going to happen if you don't sell out to that pass, that dive pass. And AD now has the ball at the front of the rim. But on those plays where they don't, the Lakers, I think, are better equipped to take advantage of it.
That's a great point, Anthony, because on those switches, like say you do switch that and you're clearing out some space, the driving lanes, when you've got the other four guys spaced out behind the 3-point line instead of one guy in a dunker spot, the help has to come from farther away. And so switching, just even just switching, even aside from that dive pass or anything like that, becomes a tougher sell because LeBron's probably going to beat that guy off of the dribble in isolation. And then it's kick out, swing, swing, drive, kick, that type of basketball. And that's what LeBron's excelled at for most of his career. So that's a really good point about the difference between Gasol versus JaVale and Dwight.
And also if they move that screen up, right, and AD sets more of a firm screen where he just seals immediately, LeBron showed an ability to throw that Mark Price dribble to split the screen also.
Oh, nice callback. Yes.
But he was able to do that last year, which somebody LeBron size shouldn't be able to do. So I think it's going to be interesting because so either if you set that screen high, you're going to be the defense is going to have to decide between continuing to switch where that minor, like even if it's a minor step back from whoever was guarding AD might be just slightly less equipped to also guard LeBron. Well, if that's the case and he's further out on the court, that puts that guy at a further disadvantage. Mm. Or like we just talked about a second ago, AD sets the screen and seals immediately. LeBron does that split screen dribble to dive between the two spots there. Or they try to go under it. And in going under it, LeBron, if he's having one of those good shooting nights, is able to knock down those 3-pointers. So I just think
that's probably their best option is that under, and it's not a great option is like leave LeBron open by going under a screen. It's probably their best option. It's not that great. So
yeah. Especially if he's dribbling to his right, that's exactly the kind of shot that he wants.
Pull that back to his left. And
the other option that I'm interested in your thoughts on with LeBron on the ball is him and Gasol running pick and roll stuff. Part of me thinks that Gasol is a little too slow to take advantage of that kind of a set, but I'm interested in your thoughts on the combination.
Well, he can pick and pop, and he's a good short roll passer, right? So pick and pop is, most fans know that, right? He's going to pop behind the 3-point line. That's going to create more of the spacing for LeBron driving lane, similar to the dunker spot thing we're talking about with JaVale and Dwight. When he does roll to the basket, you're right, he's a little slow and he's not a lob threat. So a very different player than JaVale or Dwight in that respect, but he can pass out of that. So the times where that becomes, so we have a great counter to just about every defense that you run toward us. And that's going to come in handy when teams blitz LeBron, when they double team him coming off of that pick and roll. You don't want LeBron James coming off a pick and roll. Let's send a second guy, trap him, make him give up the ball. You give that ball up to Mark Gasol on the short roll. And a short roll is when it's what it sounds like. You don't roll all the way to the basket, but you roll to around the free throw line. And once you catch the ball there, you got two defenders on LeBron who have just passed it. And now it's a 4-on-3. Marcus Cole is going to kill you on that because he's also got a great mid-range shot, especially when he's open. He's going to be money on that, or he's just going to be diamond to guys. So when teams are blitzing, let's next time down, let's run that ball screen with Mark and LeBron, and they won't be blitzing that much longer. So I don't think that's going to be a go-to action. I don't think that's like a top three offensive action that we'll have, but for that very specific defensive coverage, when teams like to get the ball out of LeBron's hands, Mark will just chew that up.
Yeah. I guess I forgot to mention Montrezl Harrell, but that's more straightforward. Like that's more of your classic pick and roll partner who, if the offense is spread out far enough and Trez is given space to operate in that spot, like it's going to look good. It's going to look good. And it's going to be really hard to defend.
Trez has got such a nice touch on his floater too. So like if you're really dropped to the basket, like, oh crap, that's LeBron.
Is incredible. I didn't anticipate him being as clean on that side of it as he's been.
He's really skilled, man. He's got great footwork.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's finish here on the off ball. Well, I guess we got to finish with, how we think the season goes and all that stuff. But the LeBron in more of an off ball role isn't the kind of thing that you would normally be too comfortable with, right?
Sure.
Usually you say like, all right, we're going to move LeBron more off the ball And the thinking there is you're overthinking, you know?
Yeah. That, and I'm very well might be, right? Like if LeBron's like, I don't really want to do that, then we don't do that. All right. Right? I would suspect that it would feel rather nice to throw the ball to Mark and, you know, be able to get yourself open without having to do all the work with the ball in your hands. But if LeBron's not feeling it, then it's the end of the conversation there.
Yeah. I think it's the kind of thing that they try out quite a bit in the first part of the season. And depending on how well it's performing and how comfortable everybody looks in it, then you keep that train rolling. My one concern is LeBron isn't your traditional floor spacer. Like as a pick and pop player, he's never looked all that comfortable. And I'm wondering if that's going to be the hindrance that it could potentially be.
It's possible. But I think that that's why, in part, he's mainly a side ball screen guy. Mm-hmm. So when the ball's in the middle of the court, the ball's on the wing, on the free throw line extended. You saw a lot of that with Alex Crusoe last year. Mm-hmm. And those were rarely ever pick and pops, right? And that's with Crusoe not being a pull-up shooting threat either.
Right.
Teams knew, but between those two guys and LeBron knowing exactly where to settle in to the passing window. And if you commit to him, he's going to skip that over the top to the weak side shooter. That's going to be an open three on the corner on the other side of the court. You know, I agree that he's not going to be a pick and pop guy, but there are certain guys where like, it doesn't matter. And that's either the devastating lob threat or your Amari Stoudemire type guy back in the day, or somebody who can really pass the crap out of the ball. And LeBron can be that elite finisher, but he can also make those passes. So LeBron's probably going to roll on those, whether you like it or not. And it's going to lead to a good option.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to, if it's something he's interested in doing, this is something that Milwaukee, I can't believe doesn't do more with Giannis, but I like the idea of LeBron being the roller in a Dennis Schroeder pick and roll, because mm-hmm. Schroeder, for one thing, is a bigger threat than everybody that has played point guard with LeBron on the Lakers thus far, right? Obviously, Kyrie Irving at that stage of his career was a better player than Schroeder is right now. But compared to the pick and rolls that we've seen when they've tried it with various other players, it hasn't looked all that clean because you haven't had to guard Lonzo Ball. You don't have to guard, you know, Alex Caruso to this point in his career. But with Schroeder, if he turns a corner, if he really turns those turbo jets on, it's over. Especially if you're switching, if they start with a bigger player on LeBron and you just try to go switch it, well, either you're going to have a mouse in the house with LeBron, or you're going to have a bigger player in space against Schroeder, which doesn't usually go very well either. Do you think that's something, like, do you think LeBron and Schroeder will be on the court enough to really give this a go?
I do. I think that at least early on, I think these are all combinations that you need to see for exactly the reason, like a guy who can finish around the rim and turn the jets on, especially on those side pick and rolls.
Yeah.
Because if you get going middle on a side pick and roll, you're in a tough position help wise because the hedging big is coming from the other side of the court. Got to go farther to help. And so Caruso got a lot of drives to the rim and layups himself off mm-hmm. of that action. My one pushback and my one concern about that is that Schroeder is not the most accurate passer, especially as when he's going at a high rate of speed. He can, and so I could foresee some, you know, Schroeder turns on the jets and then they commit to him and he tries to dump it off to LeBron's ankles. And then LeBron looks at him like, where was that? Right.
Or he throws the skip pass to the fifth row on the other side of the court.
Right. Right. And these are a bit of an exaggeration, but that is one of the more annoying attributes of Schroeder's game, is just he's got some inaccuracy to his passes when he, especially when he's moving at a high rate of speed. So, but aside from that, man, yeah, you got to give that a look because there's devastating potential. That's the thing. It's like almost all of these, there are circumstances or personnel for other teams where they can shut that down, but they mm-hmm. can't shut down everything. Like they don't have the personnel to shut down every version of what we can do. And that's a big part of why I'm so excited about the season.
Yeah. I think generally that's the theme here, is that offensively the Lakers just have so many pitches that they can throw. They have so many, or if you're a boxer, right, being able to throw punches and counter punches and counter punches and combinations and all of those things, right? That's what, when you watch Floyd Mayweather box, right, it would be maddening to go up against him because he's so good defensively. He's always in the right position. And then you make one slip up and you have a fist up your mouth, you know? And I think here with the Lakers, especially while LeBron is on the court, they're going to be able to throw that first haymaker. And if that first haymaker doesn't throw, they're still perfectly balanced to be able to throw that uppercut the other way. Or if you want to start with a jab and just kind of feel out the defense and then come with a haymaker down, you know, a little later in the shot clock, that's what that approach might look like. And I think here with LeBron, you know, to go back to where we started the show, it feels like, all right, if he was ever looking for kind of a fully maximized roster for what he wants to do offensively, this is probably the closest he's ever going to get. And when when you think of it from that perspective, it's legitimately enthralling. I cannot wait to see what this looks like in the middle of the year when these guys have had enough time to really get used to each other.
I really, really hope we're healthy, man. Yeah. Like that's the one thing, because the talent on this team is super exciting.
Absolutely. All right. Next time you guys hear from me, I will be recapping the Lakers game from the Lakers preseason game. We'll get our first look at some of the stuff that Pete and I talked about here. And then we will get you guys ready for their final preseason game heading into the start of the regular season, which is, I think it would be technically going on, or they would be getting ready to get going here in the next couple hours of a literal week from while you and I are talking.
Yeah, can't wait, man.
Let's do it. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow.